welcome to another episode of Torah Podcast. We got the regulars in the room. We got Roger and Piero. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, man. What's up, dude?
What's going on, guys?
We haven't been here in a while.
I know,
it's
man.
It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. It's like we were just talking. It's like there's so much difference in everybody, the way you look. It's like episode 21, 22 is like a whole nother person just turns into it.
No, well, Jose's been losing. I've been gaining purposely.
Purposely. I have, buddy.
Trying to get as big as I possibly can.
Yeah.
But I am, dude, it's all protein.
I was going to say, Jose, like, visibly, like, you can see it, like, in his face. Like, he dropped a lot.
Pierre, I was telling him he looks like Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun when he, like, the bomb blows up in his face and he goes off camera and he's, like, perfect again. Like, it's like a big transformation.
Yeah, man. Just trying.
You're doing good, yeah. Man. You're doing good.
So, topic of the day, man. AI. Yes. Everybody's freaking out about this DeepSeek. Is it real? Like, what's it going on? Mm-hmm. So I brought the experts on.
The experts? I don't know if I would classify myself as an expert.
There, I kind of use it to vet all
the fact functions. That you say that you're the expert, right? Like, there's all these people who are like, yeah, but, you know, like, I know everything.
Piero was just at a conference.
I don't know nothing. Yeah.
You were just at an AI conference.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, so we were at the AI conference in New York City this week. It was pretty awesome. I mean, look, nothing... They didn't announce anything like game-breaking or like, oh, my God, this is... I need this. It was all just kind of iterative updates on the stuff that they've already got out there. AI Foundry. I mean, I shouldn't say that. They made a lot of updates to the AI Foundry. They've actually, funny story, they had to update their slide deck for the keynote to add DeepSeek R1 because they just added it to the Hugging Face model available on Azure. So okay. You can actually use DeepSeek in Azure today, which is pretty cool.
So is it cheaper? Is it cheaper to use?
Oh my God. It's as compared to, well, I look, you got to keep up with it, right? Then GPT came out with their O3 model, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Did you, like, has anyone tried that yet?
Not no. The O3 model yet, no.
Dude, next level. Next level.
So give us an example for layman's term.
Layman terms. So it is really good at, much better at science, math, coding. So say, you know, I know a lot of people were, including myself, like for my own like little personal projects that I'm working on, right? I was actually subscribing to Claude just because it just did the coding piece a lot better. But now I killed the subscription. I mean, the O3 model is just really, really good and it is very, very fast. And based on the initial pricing I saw out there, pretty cheap. So they, you know, this was their response to, you know, DeepSeek kind of rolling out their own model.
Yeah.
So that's the benefit of it, right?
They kind of clap back.
The benefit is that they claim they can train it cheaply based on just pretty much, in layman's term, constantly pinging a newer model, right, to train itself.
So the way I understood it, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like they have like pathways that short circuit how much it needs to research. Is that true? Like basically if you start asking like a math question or whatever, right? It's not going to search the whole internet. It's going to search like a subset because it knows that. So that's the way I understood that's why it's faster.
Partially. The real way that they were able to kind of train it, the way I understand it, is they sort of had a like a teacher model, right? So mm-hmm. say it got something incorrect, it would actually use that trainer model to go back in and say, you got that wrong, that's incorrect, you know, this is actually the right answer. But there's a lot of debate over the technology that they're actually using, right? Because you know, they're saying, you know, they're only allowed a certain number of GPUs, right? So are they really going to come out and say, oh, yeah, we got, you know, 50,000 GPUs on the back end running this thing? No, because they can't, right? So how truthful they're actually being and how much, I mean, I believe that they just kind of, they kind of rolled on, to use Roger's terms, on OpenAI, because OpenAI initially came out and they were like, oh, we're going to open source a model, AI for everyone. They closed
everything.
And then Altman got, I would argue, greedy, right? And he's like, mm-hmm. hey, we can make a lot of money from this. And then he closed sourced it. And then, you know, Chinese came out and said, here you go. Totally open source and put it out there. But if you tag up the model and ask it for certain things, it's clearly been trained on OpenAI data, which is so funny. OpenAI went out, stole a bunch of data. Well, yeah. I don't want to say stole a bunch of data, but stole a bunch of data off the internet, mined it, right? And used it. And then, you know, they turned around and open sourced it and made it free to everybody. It's kind of comical if you think about it.
And then there's like all these people who are talking to DeepSeek and saying, you know, like, and DeepSeek is saying, you know, yeah, because I'm GPT-4, right? Like, that's what I'm trained on, you know? and it's basically like outing itself, like, yeah, like behind the scenes, I've been trained on OpenAI. So it's not like they started a whole new fresh thing. And then there's also like some reports coming out of China saying that they, you know, smuggle the chips over, and that you know, all these, like, there's these different companies, there's like videos of these people opening up boxes, and they know exactly what company was the one smuggling the chips.
It is
such a huge controversy, but at the same time, for the AI world, is the exact competition that it needs in order for everybody to start, you know, like, going at it more and more, so we get more features out of it, right?
100%. I mean, look, NVIDIA took a dump. I mean, that was the biggest sell-off in history, like NVIDIA stock.
Dude, but if they're trained on NVIDIA chip, if everybody's using it, that was like, for me, I was like, oh yeah, I went hard buying more NVIDIA that day. Like the next day afterwards, like I just bought out anything that I could. Like, sold off some things, everything, and it's doing well. So let's see.
Let's see how that goes. You know, but Broadcom too. Like, all the semiconductors, they all kind of just, you know, took a big hit. I look at it like you, a fire sale, man.
Yeah, fire sale.
I'm going in. Fire sale. I'm going in and looking to purchase, buy up what I can. You know, so I do the same exact thing.
So let me ask this: where do you think autonomous agents are at?
I'm doing it right now.
Like state of the union. How viable are they? Now, mind you, autonomous agents are going to be like high tech barrier. Like, you're going to have some capital behind you and a company to use them initially. But where I see them being important is for like, how do you get an autonomous agent that anyone can use? That's like at the cost of like text messages, right? Like, let's do that instead first. Like that's where like the cost, the barrier is the cost, right? It's very expensive to run AI. It's not cheap.
Well, so for the project that I'm working on, I'll tell you a little bit about it. What I did was I was able to bring down the 7B model locally and actually run it locally off my machine, which means it's totally free. I mean, you know, not I shouldn't say totally free, because you got energy costs, right? You know, there's no, other factors not, that you got to weigh in.
Subscription, right?
It's not a subscription. I'm not paying 14 cents a token or whatever, you know, whatever the going rate is today per token. But yeah, I mean, there's actually it's called Browser Use, and Microsoft has their own version of it, AutoGen, but essentially. These are, like, if you want to get started with AI agents, and I believe 2025 will be the year of agents. Like, you will see agents just injected into every line of the business. Like, just even from what I saw at the AI conference, just a lot of just, like, low code, hey, let's make it easier, drag and drop kind of interface, kind of building on what Satya was saying, where, you know, you're essentially just punching into a terminal. No SaaS app. Those are dead, right? You're just punching keys at, you know, keywords into
SaaS will go away. Like, at Microsoft's top level, they want SaaS to go away for sure.
100%, man.
That's what was in the
you got, then you just, but it goes back to what you know, what we were saying earlier, right, is that now focus on the hardware, because whoever has the hardware is gonna reign king, man.
And you know what? Sure. All the hardware runs on energy, which is why and you know what I can't believe this is going to happen. It's the project starting next year, but the first nuclear fusion power plant is being built in Virginia. So that's never been even accomplished before. It's basically the power of the sun on planet Earth, right? So they get a little ball of plasma and it stays that way and just radiates energy, and they create power from it. So they actually got it to a point where they put out less than they bring in. So they're building this thing now. This like hundreds of billions of dollars projects going on there. And there's going to be tons of electrical work. Like the way I kind of see it, like being an electrician right now is like one of the best careers you can have. They make so much.
Any trades.
And AI is kind of pushing the trades because of the need for more data center, more power, and to use it more effectively. Data centers essentially that run AI, they need their own power station.
But I think like when people start complaining about, you know, like can the grid handle this? Can the grid handle that and everything like that? Can the connectivity handle? Remember when Netflix first came about and everybody was like freaking out about how much streaming was like going through the bandwidth and all that stuff. What is the number? I'm just coming out of my ass, but like, isn't it like 40% of all bandwidth is like streaming video?
Yeah,
I would argue it's probably higher.
Higher, 40%. But like maybe 40% is just Netflix or something like that. It was somewhere around there, but like it's a huge number, you know. And they're like, oh, well, you know, all these data centers, they can't handle it. Blah blah. It's just gonna adapt, man.
They handled it. There's data center.
I didn't miss one episode of House of Cards. You know,
yeah, I don't know what to tell thanks you. Thanks to Netflix, the general public now knows what the word buffering means. Right? So if you look at their requirements back in the day, they said, oh, you need at least 25 megabit download speed to actively stream and not hit buffering. Mm-hmm. That hasn't changed. What changed was the delivery and the access of the data tunnel that we have now. Yeah. So most people in the world, like, we're spoiled. Like, when I have, like, 300 or 500 down, right? First of all, who even needs that? Because devices can't even...
Gamers, I'd argue, if you're gaming, like, you need that. You need that.
Yeah, I agree. For gaming, but other things, like, you don't need too much of that. My point is that Netflix just...
overkill.
Their more infrastructure was created, but Netflix just found better ways than the software to stream more effectively content at a per-second basis.
Yeah.
Here's some numbers for you. So as of 2024, streaming video accounts for over 65% of all mobile internet traffic by volume.
There you go.
YouTube alone constitutes more than 25% of total worldwide mobile traffic. So there you go, 40%
Netflix. Somewhere I was there. You were there.
That's wild. I have to say, I do love some YouTube, man.
Dude, YouTube.
Ditto.
Everything. Do you have the...
No.
No, not. You're still on ads?
Dude.
Wow.
I'm not paying that.
Piero was on ads, and I was like, you live in the hard life, man. Try my
suggestion. I can't go back.
Didn't you adopt Piero and give him like
my family?
I'm in the family plan now, yeah.
I'm just like sad that I'm not in the family
plan. Do you want to be in it? I got a seat. So
you got a slot.
Guess what I found out? Lauren, right? She was like, I was like, you listen to YouTube. She doesn't like sign up for stuff. She hates having usernames and passwords. She likes being dark. So I have her in the YouTube subscription. I noticed that the invite's expired. So I resent it. I was like, do you use it? She's like, yeah, I use it. What she meant was I use YouTube. She doesn't care. So her seat can be given to you.
Yes.
You want it?
Jose's in the fam.
I won't say no to that.
You're in the fam.
I just don't want Lauren coming after me.
She doesn't even know. It's been like a year and a half. She doesn't know.
No, look, she's still using YouTube. She's not even gonna know the difference, right? I mean,
medical people are different than we are, right? Like technology to them, they don't care. They're like, whatever. Like I talk to it, I'll type on it, and that's it.
Yeah.
They don't like the bells and whistles.
Dude, I remember I think it was a CHOP or somewhere we were at a hospital, and they just introduced this like 2010. So they just introduced the dual monitors to the nurses and all this stuff. Yeah, and they're like, this is so confusing. And it's like, no. Like it's just one big monitor. Forget about that there's two physical things. Yeah. It's just one thing. Like, that's all. And they're like, no, I don't like it. I'm going to go back to my laptop. You know, like, they were complaining about it. I'm like, I'm sitting there like, what are you talking about? Like,
it's wild. Explaining tech to non-technical folks is a skill in and of itself, for sure.
Dude, tell me about it. I agree. My mother-in-law just lost YouTube again.
Lost it? Oh, lost that's great.
It's funny because she'll call and she's like, yeah, I lost my email. Like, we need to create a new email account. And I was like, no, it doesn't work that way.
You're adorable, Nana, but no.
Nana has like 19 email addresses.
She's great though. Like, she's like, yeah, I lost it. Like, at some point I had like remote access to, like, now that everything is like devices, I don't know, like, I'll need to pick your brains on how to do it with like an iPhone or whatever. But when it was like all her computer, mm-hmm. like, yeah. I would just like remote in and be like, yeah, here. Like, somehow she would turn off her trackpad. Like, and I'm like, how? Like, either you have to go in the settings and go and do all that stuff.
In the
or,
BIOS.
No. There's like, there's also like, if you hit like function F9 or whatever, there's that little function thing. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, how? Like, how
here's,
are you
here's,
doing
here's,
this?
Here's some winning software we could develop and sell to all grandmoms. Disable all hotkey combinations except for copy paste. Because that's all they ever will need.
My mother-in-law just needs like basically a browser mm-hmm. with like YouTube on it, and that's all. Like, and she just watches YouTube all day long, and it's like all like Ukrainian and Russian news all that stuff. Like, it's like,
dude, all really, if you think about it, all she needs is a browser.
Yeah,
right. Like, that's really it. You so give I got, her,
I got her a smart TV. I got her a smart TV. And I specifically looked for one that had the YouTube button on the remote, like where she can press the YouTube button and YouTube comes up, right? Because not all of them have it. Like, they'll have like Netflix, Hulu, this and that, but like they won't have YouTube. Mm-hmm. So it's like I specifically looked for one, and it's like I found one, and I was like, oh, this is great. So we got her a smart TV, and now I'm like, all you have to do is turn it on. Most likely YouTube will be on because that's what you were watching last time. But if for whatever reason you lose it, right? You have to press the YouTube button, you know? And she's like, oh, okay. And now it's like much better. But but she doesn't even use her computer anymore. Like, I got her computer here because it's like, it was full of viruses and, you know.
Yeah.
I just reset it like every year, you know, just to.
Dude, it's an interesting use case, like the aging population on smart devices. I got my mom a Fire tablet because she wanted to read, but she wanted to like adjust the brightness. So she's like, let me get a Fire tablet. So I got it for Christmas. But I was setting it up and like, I was like, give me your phone so I can sync everything. And I opened up her phone and there is nothing on the home screen at all. It's devoid of all content.
Yeah.
It was just she has an Android, so all she had was like the stock back home and multitask buttons. There's nothing there. And I was like, how do you find it? And she was like, oh, when like something happens, the phone tells me. So everything is just reactionary to the notifications.
Yeah, like my mother-in-law installed like I guess she clicked on an ad or whatever, but it installed some storage cleanup, thing on her Android tablet, right? Cleanup. And all her tablet was doing is just sending notifications like like every 5 seconds. And she's like, I can't sleep. This thing won't shut up. And I'm like, all right, let's remove all the notifications, silence the notifications, and remove this app. And then it's like, now you can have your regular stuff that you do there, you know, which is like some casino game and some YouTube.
You know what? This reminds me. So I was on the Nextdoor neighbor app. Yeah.
All my favorite apps.
Oh my God, the most hilarious. Like, I don't post on there typically, but last night I did, right? So I was just on there, just kind of scoping it out, right? So this guy posts, he goes, how do I remove this app? It keeps blowing up my notifications, right? And so everyone in the comments is trying to, like, help this guy out, right? And and he's responding back. He's like, I've already removed the app. But yet he's responding, right? So he's like, the notifications keep coming through. So I don't know. Maybe he logged in on, you know,
he probably swiped away, you know, the app and then still
there. Exactly. Now it's gone, right? It's gone. So my comment was, have you tried a hammer? Like, that's it. Like, have you tried a hammer? Buy a new phone. So that kickstarted a whole bunch of just hilarious comments.
Neighborhood, like, chats is like hilarious. It's always the same thing. It's always like, what is that noise? Who did
what's
this?
Up with the construction?
What's up? Who's doing fireworks on a Thursday? It's like
Maverick's like famous on my next door, dude. He was just on there last week when he was out.
Oh, what'd he do?
He ran away, dude, last week. Dude, I told you.
So Rod, I thought you were exaggerating on the number of kills. I zoomed in on your picture and I was like, I count one, two, at least two squirrels.
He does, dude. He after he escaped, he went into the backyard the next day and he was like, everything must die. I need to make a statement. And he just, I mean, it's sad, but like, that's what he does, man.
It's his nature, man.
It's his honor. I don't get mad at him, but he was like, when Zeus, the golden retriever, would try to go in the backyard, Maverick would just stand up and growl. He'd be like, these are all my kills. Just so you know.
These are all my kills, yeah. So wait, that I wanted to ask you, I see you have a statue out back there. So what saint is it? And is that the pet cemetery, like, graveyard, dude?
No, so yes, it is. It's only about 10 feet away from the statue. That's the patron saint of animals. Saint, what's his name? Saint, it's not Vincent. It's not Peter. He's the patron saint of all animals. He actually is an interesting story.
Pierre is going to look it up really good. He's our young Jamie.
I'm
your young Jamie right here.
So anyway, patron saint of animals. So that's like the demarcation place. 10 feet straight back is where all the other ones are buried.
Saint Francis of Assisi.
Who's a really cool dude. You know, he was rich, Saint Francis of Assisi, right? And he was always in the village, giving all his money, food, things to poor people. So his dad was like a baron. His dad came to him. He's like, dude, you're embarrassing the family. We're going to disown you if you don't stop like doing this. And he was like, fine, goodbye. And the story is that because he wanted nothing from his family, he took all of his clothes off and walked to the village buck naked to help the people again with nothing. They clothed him and he just like stayed there and helped all people and animals for the rest of the time. And that's why he was saying it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's like the story of that, but that's like the demarcation place for the pet cemetery. Like if you walk 10 feet
when you say pets, do you mean like your pets or do you mean
everything that
Maverick kills?
Maverick is killed.
That's not a pet though.
Well, we in the movie Pet Cemetery.
Okay.
There is what do we have? We do have one actual like hamster back there, but that's it. The rest are squirrels, birds, possums. I mean,
neighbors.
Dude, the geese. did you bury the geese, or did you just kind of? My problem.
Let the fox take them away.
Yeah,
not my.
Dude, look, I find like all kinds of like moles and stuff like that, like in the pool, like drown, you know, stuff like baby moles or whatever. Yeah, I just like take it and throw it into the woods, and it's like, yeah, the fox will eat it.
That's what they do. They come and they take care of all that stuff.
Yeah. Dude, so many dead animals in the pool.
Get
I don't have Maverick, but I have a pool.
Yeah, you do. You have a big hole. Yeah. That drowns the animals.
Yeah. Especially baby animals.
That's sad.
It is.
They're all happy to go out swimming. Yeah. Well, we're gonna have
But there's also pretty cool like when you go to save some. You know, like my kids like saved like this bird a couple times, you know, like or like frogs love it. Like they just go in there and you're trying to catch a frog in a pool is like, you know, they're wrestling with a pig in the mud, right? Like it's you're only going to get frustrated and the pig is going to like it, right? But like it's just one of those, man. Like, but frogs, bullfrogs especially, like big ones, like get in the pool. It's like, oh, kids love it, man.
Trying to catch them?
Dude, they catch them and they're like, you know, like holding him, like, let him go, you know? It's like, he's tired.
See, I'm glad I don't have a pool because Maverick would, the geese land in neighbor's pools. Yeah. And like Maverick looks at it like he wants to jump in there and just kill it.
I don't have geese landing in a pool.
He used to go in that nasty pond that's behind my house to chase the geese.
Oh, I remember that one day you sent a pic and he was just
circling.
You could barely tell it was Maverick just covered in mud, dude.
Yeah, he was just circling like a shark. And like he can't really catch him, but he did wind up getting one and dragging it out of the pond. It was real sad to watch. He just, like, his superpower is his stamina. Like, he could just go and go and go. And the geese, like, was just swimming in a circle because it had laid eggs, so it wouldn't leave the nest.
Yeah.
So, like, Maverick finally just, like, got it.
It's like,
drug it out of the pond, shook it, killed it, then went over and started playing with its eggs. And that was, like, Sunday. That was on Easter Sunday, and, like, there was, like, kids outside having Easter egg hunts, and they were like, he's killing the baby goose. Like, it was so bad. They hated him.
The neighbors hated
Maverick after that. But some of my other neighbors were cool.
Are all huskies like have that high prey drive? Yeah, is that just
how they're built? Because they're working dogs. So that what they're meant to do is like work or run for long distances or periods of time, and then go eat immediately and do it again. Like they can move for 12 hours.
Do it in the wild too. So
yeah,
it's like for him, it's like, dude, I'm doing one of them.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm good to go. He's like, he's like, I don't know why you're buying dog food. You're just making it easy for me. He's like, let me out back. He's like, hey, God, you're fine.
I got you this week.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't recommend owning a husky. Not because it's a lot of activity. I love the dog walking and being out in nature with him.
Yeah.
I don't really even mind the killing. He protects my garden. Nothing messes with my garden. Because he destroys it if it does. It's the hair in the house. And like I saw him the other day running in place, like getting excited. And like, it was like sawdust was coming off my floor. Like he was
watching Roger get out of his car because him and I like typically arrive at the same time. Yeah. So like, I'm like, what the hell is he doing over there? Right. So I come over, he's got the lid roller and he's just hitting his sleeves every time.
Yeah.
Though, and the sad part is that, like, I lint rolled myself before I got in that car. And Maverick doesn't go in that car, yet his hair still finds his way.
It's all your clothes, man.
It is. I can't.
Just bring it in there.
I just bring Maverick with me, man.
Dude, everyone. That is hilarious, man. What, do you have any pets, Piero?
So the bird.
Yeah, how is he doing?
True. He died, dude. Oh, it was the best thing ever. Best thing ever.
Dude, don't
I'm just making sure they can't hear me.
I thought you liked them.
No, dude, all it did was yell all day long. Like, it was insane. I mean, he was just about, and he bit all the kids. Like, you couldn't even hold. He was a jerk, to be honest.
I thought you were like, oh, he's awesome. He like flies over to see us when we come in. Did he go rogue on you?
So we've had three birds, okay? And we were getting them from the same place. And so we had two cockatiels, and then we had a Sunny Conyer. The Sunny Conyer was the one that would fly around and greet us, like, really beautiful bird. Really loud, though. I don't ever recommend buying one. But the cockatiel, no. So the one, again, same place we got them from, they just... After a few years, they would just get sick and die. I want to say that they had some lawsuits. They ended up shutting down. So I didn't put two and two together. I just, you know, I thought, you know, like, just that's how long they lived. But no. Apparently, they live a really long time.
Don't you have cats, too, though? How'd the bird?
Oh, yeah.
Cats?
They're actually, like, really, really cool. I mean, I wouldn't trust them together. Like, but they know, oh, that's a pet. Like, I can't eat that.
Dude,
so
Maverick has
no
training like that. So every time I think he's like I can trust him because he's older and he's trained now. Dude, he
proves you wrong.
So I have cats, right? And he wants to chase them. And he like looks at them like food, like they're food. But the other day, and I thought I was going to have a big thing. One of the cats were on the steps. One of my cats is not too bright, Mr. Bojangles, right? He's a little off. But he wasn't even paying attention, and Maverick went up to him and put his like nose on him. And I thought Maverick was going to grab him, and he was just, nothing happened. So I was shocked.
Don't trust it. Don't trust it.
I never would trust it.
Yeah.
He's gauging distance. He's like, how close can I get without you freaking out? Next time it's going to be a full.
No, he's playing the long game with Roger because I think you got to keep the cats upstairs.
Dude, I had a pit bull, same thing. Like it was like we walk it, and anytime we would walk it, he was like, you know, pulling and just like completely like dominating the walk, right? Like he was one of those. And you know, we try to train it, we try to do everything, and then he would be like next to us, and there was a cat that was like loose in the neighborhood, and he knew when it was coming, and when it was coming, he was like pulling and trying to get the cat. The cat is like taunting him, you know, and one day we get to that part and he's not pulling, and I'm like, yeah, you know, he's trained, and like we see the cat and he's like chill, you know, just like walking. And the second the cat starts coming closer and closer, that's when the dog just went wham and takes his paw over the cat's head, right? And just like smacks it like just like a pimp slap, just like, pah! You know, and the cat never again came closer.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He knew like basically the distance of his leash. He's like, he knows this cat is coming. And so he like let loose. And just like let it get closer, and it's like boom, yeah, like wow. Yeah. So it's like he was playing the long game. Yeah,
and that's what I feel like Maverick is kind of looks at the upstairs of my house where all the cats live as like a refrigerator. He's like, nah, they're just on ice for me for if I ever need them. Like at no point do I think he feels kinship towards them. Like he does with my other dog, right? They're cool.
Yeah,
best friends.
But they're. Even with him, Maverick's kind of like, get away from me right now. Like, I get the sense that, because he doesn't always sleep with them or lay with them. Mm-hmm. He always goes as far away as possible sometimes. So even then, huskies are, like, real strange. Like, they're a pack, but they're totally fine being on their own some of the time.
We have friends who, like, I mean, they're both, like, in the medical field, like, have a lot of money. But, like, they had, like, 3-4 birds, like, wild birds. They had snake. They had, like, a lizard. Their house was like a zoo, man.
Lizards are
like,
cool.
We went there. The kids were loving it because it's like, you know, they could grab all these different stuff. Yeah. Like, and, like, she told me that one bird was, like, I don't know, $7,000 or something like that.
Damn.
And then
really?
Yeah, and one day it just flew away. And I was like, oh, my stomach is like turning, man. It's like holy crap. Just like oh my god.
Wait, was it one of the ones that could talk? Cockatoo.
No, it wasn't like a cockatoo. It was different. I don't know what. I'll send you pics, but like from it, but like yeah, she was like so upset, and the husband came home and just like got her another one, and I was like, my stomach is just like turning. It's like, oh, that's like a whole nother level of like, yeah, not us, bro.
$7,000 flying away, wow.
And then like when they got sick, they had to take him to
the special
special.
Oh, not cheap, yeah.
Bed and all that stuff, and that was like another $2,000-$3,000, you know. It's like, man, that's nuts, man. Like,
so on another note, and Jose, I actually want to ask you about this. So, were you born here in the U.S. or did you come here?
Wait, were you trying to get ice in my house now?
No, dude, I'll explain why.
You might have a blast with those jokes, man.
No. I was born in Paraguay. I came here.
Yep.
Like when I was like
10. Legally,
legally, and now I'm a citizen. But yeah, I
So right now, so I just heard back from the Italian embassy. So apparently, I don't know if like Paraguay has something similar, but it's called Ius Sanguinis, right? And it's basically right of blood, right? Yep. So Italian citizenship is passed through ancestry.
Mothers. Yep.
Well, fathers, not mothers. Well, they passed a law in, I think, 1946 or 56, yep. One of those
you
years.
You can go get your Italian passport, basically.
Dual citizenship, yep. I can get. So the second so I'm like dead smack in the middle of it right now. Like, I just got my father's birth certificate. Like, I had to reach out to Rocca Vivara, like their Italian consulate out there. It's like a little small Italian village. Took him like forever to get back to me, but finally heard back, got his birth certificate. So now I just need to get prove that he wasn't ever naturalized, which he wasn't, and he never renounced his Italian citizen, at least before I was born, right? But dude, there's actually, like, I don't know if you guys have looked into it, but there's some really good benefits of being like having that dual citizenship. Like, you can, and the kids will get it. The second I get it, they automatically become dual citizens, right? So you get access to healthcare and education, which in Italy, they have tons of just free schooling, right? They can pass that citizenship down to future generations, makes traveling to the EU just way easier. And he could live and work there, no problem. Buy property, right? So, a lot of cool benefits. So, I was just curious. Do you do dual citizen or just?
So, off the record,
yeah. Okay.
I think U.S. allows it. Paraguay does not, right, allow the dual citizen. But it's one of those things that anytime I went over there and. They ask, like, you know, they see my passport and it says, like, born in Paraguay.
Right.
You know, in the U.S. passport. And then they ask, like, oh, what's your ID number? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I really don't. I really don't know what my ID number is anymore. Like, my mom says she has it somewhere. I don't know. Last time I was over there, I was, like, very close to, like, going and getting it renewed. You know? But even then, it's just a whole nother like loop that you have to jump through and all that stuff. But I think every time you come in, and they see American passport and they see part, they want to like basically like put you in the list that you're like, okay, you're no longer
part of this. I'll get out.
Yeah, but that's my theory on that, because I heard other people too saying that, you know, they you know, once you are a U.S. citizen and all this stuff, they're like, you know, like, screw you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was definitely benefits of being dual citizenship. I know a lot of people go to Paraguay to get a citizenship there. And ways of doing it is either through investments, starting companies, all these different ways. And one of the benefits of becoming a Paraguayan citizen is that with that passport, you can travel to a lot more countries without visa than you can with an American passport. So it's one of those things that's like, you know, really, really, really beneficial.
Yeah. And so are you going to do it for the kids or no?
I should. I should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's putting it out there. You never know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things that when I was there last time, because my grandma passed away, it was like, you know, we were like toying around with the idea of like going and getting it done, but it just didn't happen. But again, it's like, when do I go to Paraguay? It's like, it's only when, unfortunately, when relatives pass away. It's like, so, and then my parents now, they're citizens here. So they're like, okay, they're at the age that it's like, I joked around because my dad's car is in my driveway, right? It's like he leaves it here every time he goes to Paraguay. They'll go for like 6 months and come back.
That's
six
awesome.
Months. And now I joked around last time. Like, I was like, are you coming back this time? Because it's like, I feel like he's just going to go and just not come back. You know, I feel like he's just going to be like, yeah, you know, that's it. And he's like, no, I might stay longer this time. That's what he says. Like,
yeah, but do you see yourself doing something like that, like later on in life, like never. When you can, just never.
U.S. baby,
U.S. all the way. Well, yeah, you look, you got the whole fam here, the kids and everything.
It's
yeah.
not just that, man. I don't know.
Did you ever see what it is like to live and work in another country but retain your United States citizenship?
No,
it's expensive.
What do you mean?
You have to pay American taxes even if you work in another country. To keep your citizenship, and you can't renounce your United States citizenship. It's very expensive to renounce it, so it's like 15 grand.
Would you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why would you? But there's some people who just don't want it. They want to go live in another country like Sweden or Switzerland. They have a lot of family there, and some of those countries don't allow dual citizenship with America, so they want to renounce their American citizenship, and it's like super expensive to do so. But the fact that you have to pay taxes while you're a U.S. citizen, even if you don't work here, is makes it super hard to live in another country and retain dual citizenship.
Oh, it's still way cheaper. If you want to, like, there's definitely people that see the benefit of, like, the low cost of living and all that stuff.
For sure.
To go somewhere and do it. I don't know.
Being able to buy property and stuff like that, like, all the rules and regulations for people outside the country, it makes it almost impossible.
Did you see Spain just like jacked up the taxes if you're a foreigner trying to buy property in Spain?
Mm-hmm. No. But yeah, that's the type of stuff I'm talking about.
They jacked it up so much. They're like, we're tired of all these people just like basically having their vacation home here. Like our own citizens cannot buy property because it's all used up by all these vacation homes. If you're a foreigner, it is like ridiculously taxed. Mm. It's like that's not
saying. So, Pierre, is that your idea of getting dual citizenship to be able to buy a property in Italy?
I mean, I don't know yet, right? Like,
you like the idea, though, right?
I like to be able to set myself up to be able to do that if I want to. Yeah.
Have you been to Italy?
Yeah. It's been a hot minute. But, like, I still have tons of family over there. They're always like, they come over here, right? But, you know, they're always like, you should come. But it's like, I don't know. It's a little small, right? It's like, I could see myself retiring somewhere like there. But, like, right now, no. Like, they're trying to get people to move to Italy. Like, a lot of the population is just older.
There are places in Europe that they'll pay you. If you come in and work and live and,
Italy
and
is
marry
one.
One of those. Like,
They were even giving away properties for free.
Yeah.
Like you come in, you fix it up, and you got to stay there for like a year or something like that. But
Japan too, they're like, the property is like so cheap, but if you're a foreigner, you cannot take out a mortgage. You have to come in with cash. Mm-hmm. So you can buy like a property in Tokyo for like 50 grand, but it has to be cash.
You got to pay cash.
And then the problem in Japan that they have is that even if you want to remodel, even if you have the money to remodel, to rip away stuff and throw it away, it is such a hassle. Like the whole like trash, it is so hard to get rid of stuff.
But are you able to actually buy the land? Because I've heard. Certain countries, like you can buy a property, but you don't own the underlying land on it. And you like, they charge you some ridiculous taxes.
No, it's pretty cheap. Like, like my parents have like a couple of properties in Paraguay, right? So they're like, you know, they have their main house, they have the house that we grew up in, they have a country house. And now like basically the point being that the taxes for the year for my dad, for example, for his house, is like $400 for the year.
That is awesome.
It is so cheap. It it is cheaper than my monthly by more
our
than
payment.
Half.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. But yeah.
But I did just look it up. You are absolutely right, Raj. Like you will literally pay dual taxes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's hard. But Jose brought up a good point. Like that it might be worth it if the cost of living is cheaper.
Yeah, but think about it. Like getting taxed on, you know, even if to live well in Paraguay, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Making $30,000-$40,000 a year, mm-hmm. you live well. What's the taxes on that, right? Like it's like you only have to pay what, federal taxes?
Mm, yeah, possibly. Yeah.
So then it's only. Go ahead.
They do have a foreign tax credit too, so you can offset your U.S. taxes with taxes paid to, you know, whatever country you're working in.
But not only that, you can still like pay taxes. You can still put into the Social Security. Like my dad will take out Social Security, and you know lives pretty well just off of that, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's one of those things that it's like, yeah, sure.
I don't even know if any of like. If I even would qualify with other countries of like my
your style of living,
no, my nationality, like I'm pretty
where's
sure.
Where's your fam from?
I'm pretty sure it's either Poland or Ukraine. Eventually, would be like the source of where most of my family came from.
Poland, really? I was tracking like Irish.
There was a German citizen or two back in the day, but if I follow my family tree all the way back, it's like Slovakia, which is unusual to me. But it's so close. It makes sense, right? But it's usually there. That's where most of my family comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So did you pay for one of those services where
I did.
I had it for a little bit, and then like I got to a point where I was like, all right, I'm done. Like
I didn't do the whole family tree thing, but like I did the DNA test.
Oh, I didn't do the DNA test. I don't trust them with my DNA.
Yeah, right?
I just let them.
What was it, 27andMe that caught that guy because he...
yeah!
gave away his information.
Yeah.
It's like, the FBI is looking for you, buddy. It's like, yeah, but don't get on the FBI
list.
What did your
DNA test say? Like
30% Spaniard, like you know, 10% African, 10% like indigenous of Americas. Mm-hmm. There's all these different parts of it, but yeah, there. I even got, you know, I have more Russian blood than my Russian wife.
Yeah, really?
Get out.
Yeah. Let's go. That's awesome. Bitches.
Now I'm real curious. I kind of want to do it, but
yeah,
I just don't trust them with the data, right?
This is
it is like yeah.
But like, can you send me back my? Like, can you give me the info and delete my data?
Right.
No, just what you have to do is like you have to put in your name is like Piero : user delete. You know, SQL inject them. You know, like you should have sanitized your data.
That's an idea. Yeah. That's an idea. I would never give them my DNA. That's crazy.
Delete from user table.
Delete.
Your name.
Is your kid Bobby Robert Colin delete user table?
Dude, if you opt in to like share your genetic information with 23andMe or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So Lauren actually knows a lot about it. She did a bunch of research in nursing school on like how accurate that stuff is because she loves true crime too.
Yeah.
The statistical likelihood, if you're in a database anywhere in the world, the statistical likelihood, if you leave behind material in a crime scene, they will find you, is like almost nearly 100%. Like they will find
it's
you.
It's crazy. Yeah.
They need the smallest of lead of like they just need a gene pool at a potential area of residence, and then they just – the cops do their thing.
You can't hide. No, 100%. I was watching, to your point, right? Like one of those true crime shows, right? And they actually stalked this guy's house, waited for him to throw out his garbage.
Yeah, dude.
They rummaged through it, and they were able to like grab some DNA because he wouldn't do like the buccal swabs or whatever they are, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So they actually just waited for him to throw out his trash. And then at that point, it's fair game.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting nabbed.
That's where, go back to our original discussion. These are the things that AI is going to supercharge, right? AI is like, so I've been noticing the models that it can't really philosophically analyze anything for me. It gets it wrong almost all the time. Like I can't ask it to combine abstract concept, like creatively concepts into a creative concept, and then give me some answer that's semi acceptable. It reverts back to its safe responses all the time. And that right. kind of thing, that drives me crazy, because that makes it like the end of every problem that we have is a philosophical and creative issue almost all the time. To truly see progress, you need that human ingenuity there. And until we let AI have that, we're not always going to have it. So that's where I think like the focus area for me with AI is like statistical analysis of existing data. How can we make our bad data into good data? Right. Because that's I want it to have the data of my life. I just don't want to share it with anyone. And I want it to tell me, you know, when I make a mistake, like if I feel like ChatGPT, like the task in the 40 model should know how my bills that I pay and be like, dude, why are you paying this much a month for internet service when you can get it here? I found this out. Like, it should be warning me about those things.
Dude, did you see? There was like this whole AI model, like arguing with the other AI model, like the cable company.
Pierre was doing that way back in the day.
I was doing that.
Tell us.
Yeah. So what I would do, all right, this is going to sound crazy because everyone in the house is like, what the hell are you doing, dude? So I have an iPad mini. I have a regular iPad Pro, and then I have my phone, right? And then I have my laptop. And so what I would do is I would set them all up. I'm like, all right, you know, I would give them roles, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say, all right, now you need to wait until the other person is done. Keep it short and concise. So I would give them like a set of instructions, and then I would also include myself, and I'm like, all right, we're going to debate, and I would give a topic. And then, dude, we would have all five of us just having this conversation. It was so so wild and incredible. And
that should be a podcast, man. That's a podcast on its own. Yes. It's like Piero and the AI models just like arguing a topic, you know, like
that's not a bad idea.
Dude, that is amazing. That oh my god, let's do this, man. Like next time we'll bring it up and just like have that'll be great.
So I took the same when I heard he did that, I did it with like, I had two devices. I just point them at each other. But when ChatGPT came out with the Santa Claus voice model, it got real weird doing that. Because every response is like, oh no. You can't do that.
No, but the one that had the one that I'm talking about is like basically Comcast uses an AI chatbot, right?
You helped try to the one part of Xfinity, didn't you? The
chatbot? No, not that. I helped build a different part, and it wasn't for Xfinity. It was for this other company that Xfinity uses. Oh. But we can talk about that later. But this one is like Xfinity uses an AI chatbot to try to retain customers from not canceling their subscription.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this AI chatbot that the guy put out was arguing with their AI chatbot on trying to get the biggest discount ever, you know? So it's like, no, I'm leaving. That's it. You know, and the AI chatbot would be like, well, you know, what if I give you like a $10 a month credit, you know? And then the other AI chatbot would be like, yeah, it's like, that's not enough, you know, because so-and-so is giving this and all this stuff for new users. And it's like, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, and mine won.
Get out. So,
his AI chatbot got like the biggest discount against the other guy, the other AI chatbot.
That is awesome.
And
I
with
love
that,
it.
I think we can wrap up this episode. Thank you, man. Guys.
This is a good one.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Always a pleasure. Peace out. Talk to you. Ciao.
Bye.